Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Oh, boy.
Well.
So she went from Alabama when she was just 19 to join ISIS. Hoda Muthanna left 4 years ago. While in Syria, she called for Americans to be attacked. She spread ISIS propaganda online. Now, she's about one of 1,500 women and children, the spouses and children of ISIS militants, that are being held in a Kurdish-run detention camp in northern Syria. She has a baby. He's 18 months old. The father of the child is not alive. And apparently she had two other husbands, both dead, ISIS militants. She claims she's not allowed to leave the camp and has armed guards protecting her from ISIS sympathizers. But she just wants to come home. She said she made a mistake in moving to Syria and wants to return to the U.S. to face justice and pay any debts she has to society. She also says she would speak out against ISIS and help de-radicalize other Americans. Do we let her come home? And by the way, she can't just leave. She claims that the U.S. has to ask for her release. U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency referred questions about her to the State Department. The State Department has not responded to any queries about if they will ask for her release or have asked for her release in the past. But she says she can't leave until she is requested by the U.S. to come home. Hmm. So, I mean, do we ask for her to come back? Do we, make her obviously pay for these crimes, or do we not want her back? Yes, you may have been born an American citizen, but you left to go fight for ISIS, so we done.
Well, a lot of people think that constitutes treason, right?
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people who might consider themselves forgiving would look at this, not knowing whether or not there is true remorse. I know she said that when she was young, she was naive, angry, and arrogant. And then she's quoted as saying, "During my years in Syria, I would see and experience a way of life and the terrible effects of war, which changed me."
You think?
Well, she saw friends dying in front of her. She witnessed beheadings. She was part of the ISIS propaganda machine.
It's ISIS. You kind of know what you're getting into online. They, like, show you beheadings. It's like, hey, come on, join the group. It's great. And so, she chose it.
According to New America, a Washington, D.C.-based foreign policy research institute, six American militants, six U.S. citizens who went to Syria to fight or train have come back to the U.S. All six have been taken into custody.
Here's what I think about this.
I'm wondering why we should invite her back. I mean, I really have trouble with this when it comes to forgiveness.
Right.
Christ said, forgive,
right,
turn the other cheek. You know, people deserve a second chance. If there's true remorse.
I think she was a U.S. citizen at one time. I don't know that she's renounced her citizenship. But if we bring her back, we put her on, trial for crimes, war crimes. Whatever the American statutes say about somebody defecting to another country and serving on behalf of that other country for the downfall of the United States, she needs to pay the price. And that might be the rest of her life in prison.
Yeah.
And I do not feel bad one bit if that were the case. What she does have now is an 18-month-old son who might be being radicalized. God knows what's going on in this camp.
18 months?
He's 18 months, this little boy. I think as Americans, this is just my opinion, and you're welcome to yours at 651-989-9226. That's what we're talking about. It. What do we do? What do we do with these people? I say we take her back. I'm a big believer in forgiveness. We take her back, but she has to pay whatever the price is. You have to go through due process. You have to go through the judicial system. And if that means you're in jail for life, fine. But the question becomes, that little boy, We don't need any more ISIS sympathizers out there. He was born to an American citizen. We need to bring him back.
He did nothing wrong.
And then her family or the foster care system or somebody who is going to adopt him needs to adopt him and raise him properly, not in a refugee camp and not under the guise of my dad was an ISIS fighter, so I want to avenge his death when I'm older.
How do we know whether or not she still constitutes a threat?
We don't.
To U.S. citizens.
We don't. I mean, that's why
she needs
to pay.
How can we see what's really in her heart, what she really believes? So I'm not sure we should take her back under any pretext.
And maybe there's monitoring. If she's not in prison for the rest of her life, then maybe we monitor everything. She loses rights that regular citizens have because regular citizens don't run off and are treasonous and join freaking ISIS.
She's one of 1,500 foreign women and children, the spouses and children of ISIS militants that are now being held in Kurdish-run detention camps in northern Syria. So she's the first of theoretically many who may want to come back.
Bruce is in Ramsey. What do you think, Bruce?
Absolutely not. The cost for treason in this country is penalty of death. If she wants to stay alive, she needs to stay over there. How do we know she's not a sleeper going to come back here and cause problems in the United States? And I don't mean to be a nervous ninny.
We don't.
That's reality. Keep her out. She does not deserve the rights to come back to the United States, period. And, by the way, live on yours and my dime.
I hear you, Bruce. Good call. Good call.
I agree with Bruce. If you're not a little bit paranoid, you're not paying attention.
Say it loud and proud, Bruce. Khalid is in Anoka. Hey, Khalid, jump in here.
Yes. Hi. First of all, I'm a Muslim, and I just came to America 5 years ago.
Welcome.
Welcome. Okay.
Thank you, sir. And if it's up to me, I will not never let this lady or whoever tempting back to the United States. Because in my own philosophy or in my own theory, I believe those people, they take advantage of the freedom in America, and they just do whatever they want. They went outside with ISIS to kill other people, our people in Middle East. And if the American army go to fight for us overseas, they will fight American army. So how come I can trust her if she gets back to the United States, she will be safe? As the gentleman who spoke before me, I 100% agree with him. We need to clean America from this kind of people. It's not a ticket. It's not a felony with IRS. It's not any mistake happening here in the United States. It's a huge matter. She's went outside to fight, to kill innocent people in the name of Islam. First of all, she doesn't represent Islam 100%, and she does not deserve to represent the United States.
Khalid, she does not deserve a second chance.
Absolutely no, sir. That's my own opinion. I know there is a lot of people that probably they will disagree with me, but to be honest with you, this is the land of freedom. That's my opinion. And she does not deserve any second chance. How can you trust her? If she comes, she will raise her kids. She will talk to the community. She will post in social media anything against United States or against the humanity and like in general.
Khalid, thanks for the call and welcome, Khalid. We hope you were very successful here in the United States.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in,
thanks
Khalid.
For listening. See, he just got here. He's listening to WCCO radio. That's a smart move.
But his point that ISIS and a lot of radical groups use our freedoms against
That's
us,
right.
use our freedoms as weapons. And so
I just worry about the rise of the next terrorist regime. You know, this is a bride of ISIS. He's a child of ISIS. That 18-month-old is going to grow up and he could turn into the next Osama bin Laden. I feel like we have to de-radicalize at least the young ones. Throw her in jail. Fine. She can stay in jail for the rest of her life and be highly monitored.
But you and I are supporting her in jail.
I guess I'm just worried about the kid. I'm worried about the kid. I'm worried about him. The U.S. didn't let my mommy back in and didn't let me back in and left us to rot in a Kurdish camp. And that kind of anger and resentment breeds hostility and hate and revenge. And if it's incumbent upon us to take care of the kids and not let this kind of thing grow. I'm sorry. Yeah, let's get Neil. Neil in St. Paul. Jump in, Neil.
Hey, Neil. Yeah, I think everybody can change, and there's you can find your forgiveness when the time comes, maybe when you stand before your Creator. But I think she kind of forfeited her rights to come back into this country. I mean, she chose to go over and fight against freedom, against democracy, against our American way. And she chose that. It wasn't somebody took her. She chose that, and now it's a mistake because, yeah, she's a prisoner, and she'd probably have a heck of a time in those prisons. I can't imagine how horrible it is. You know, she probably wants to come back and have three square meals and have a comfortable prison
right.
in this country. They can do whatever they want to those prisoners over there. And, you know, she can find her forgiveness maybe when the time comes of judgment, but you couldn't trust her because it's just way, way too far left to go join ISIS. That's just way too far.
All right. I hear you.
Actions have consequences.
Yep. Thanks, Neil.
Thank you, Neil.
Yep.
I really empathize. I really do. And Khalid's call may have changed my viewpoint. He was very passionate about it and probably knows more than I do about the situation.
Muslims calling out other Muslims, mm-hmm. right?
And he says
this is wrong.
But this woman who's breeding hate does not represent Islam. And I appreciate him saying that
right.
as well. They have perverted it to use it for
They've
their terrorist
it.
Ways.
Sure.
That's right. So very enlightening. Okay. Well, thanks. Nobody agreed with me, but that's okay. I might have changed my position on this.
So would you rather talk about this or the weather?
Oh, see, that's like, which evil do we want to discuss?
The ISIS of meteorology.
You're the Osama bin Laden of weather right now. Sorry.
Okay, be careful. Be careful.
We'll talk weather when we return. It sucks.
Today in Naples, Florida.
Oh, God, we hate
you. The temperature
you.
Hit 90 degrees. That was a new record. This was Corey Heppola tweeted this. Just kind of piling on. At least when I was in Palm Springs,
Corey.
I had the good sense not to go onto Twitter or Instagram and post the current weather. I did not. I just sent that
to you.
No, you
just texted it to us.
To you. To you personally, not to the public, but to you.
It's all right. Dan and I skewered him back, so it's okay. But Corey, we're going to start hating on you, buddy.
Corey. Hey, at this point, my attitude is let's just go for the records. Let's go for records. Let's go for boasting rights.
Inches, right?
If anybody anywhere makes the mistake of telling a snow-related story, the rest of your life, you can one-up them. You
right.
can top that story.
Well, in February at least.
In February. Well, yeah. I mean, this is unusual to get 30 inches of snow, and there's a good chance we'll have 30 inches for the month by Sunday here in the Twin Cities. We've had 22.6 so far. We're going to get at least 4 or 5 tomorrow, so we'll set a record officially for the snowiest February tomorrow afternoon. According to the Weather Service, going back to 1885, there have been only 10 individual months, 10 months with 30 inches or more in that given month. One of those was November. I'm assuming that was November of 91, right after the Halloween superstorm. 3 each in December, January, and March. The most recent month with 30 inches or more was December of 2010. So you have to go back 9 years to find a month, 1 month with 30 inches. There have been some years, entire winters, where we've had 30 inches of snow, mm-hmm. which is kind of sad.
I mean,
when you consider the average is 52, 54 inches. So again, at this point, let's just go for a record. Winter storm warning. In effect, which means it's coming, it's imminent.
Give us time so we can plan the day. And
my God, you're demanding.
Well, I'm just, people are driving out there.
Yeah.
They want to know if they have to leave work early. They want to know if they have to plan for maybe a delayed start for the kids tomorrow.
I would, if you can leave a few minutes early tomorrow, I would
Tomorrow or tonight?
Well, if you leave tonight, you'll get to work on time tomorrow morning, Julie. What do you mean?
No, but we're going to start at like midnight tonight, right?
The snow is going to come in after about 2 a.m. I think we'll have 2 inches okay. by daybreak. When you get up, listen to Dave Lee mm-hmm. for an update tomorrow morning. I think we'll have about 2. It's going to be slow. It's not the end of the world. I think by lunchtime we'll have 5 or 6 and then maybe another inch or 2 tomorrow afternoon. I still think it's going to be in that 4 to 8 inch range tomorrow. Pretty quick burst. The warning is valid from 6 a.m. tomorrow until 6 p.m. tomorrow. So
okay.
just 12 hours
okay.
where it's going to be pretty cruddy on the highways. And then it gets better pretty fast tomorrow night. Thursday and most of Friday, the travel should be okay. There's another chance Saturday and Sunday, especially south and east of the Twin Cities. Somebody texted in on our text line they need to drive to Kansas City and they wanted to know Saturday or Sunday. I would plan on going Sunday if you're driving. I think conditions will be a little bit better Sunday if you're trying to get out of here or get into town. But right now, the European takes it just to the south and east of us. We're right on the edge of the heavy stuff, Jor. And I know you're hoping that maybe we can get another plowable snow Saturday night, Sunday morning.
God.
But again, just think how good it's going to be when it does turn green.
That's
when the birds
thing.
Start chirping.
I noticed that, at least in other winters past, there had been melting. So you would see grass in between the snowfalls.
Most of the winters,
yes.
We have melting.
Right.
Most of the winters,
not
yeah, it snows year. And then it warms up into the 30s. We lose most of the snow. It's unusual to keep snow on the ground for this length of time.
Right.
As the winters warm, the nights are getting warmer. But again, one out of four winters, we get spanked.
My
and
son
this
started
is one of those one out of four.
His baseball clinic and, you know, getting ready for the season. Obviously, spring training is in full swing, but the kids are starting their baseball clinic. And they have a bubble or a dome, as the kids call it, that they practice in. Because, you know, you can't play baseball outside of Minnesota now. So I walked into the dome to pick him up
this weekend. Why can't you play?
No, you can't. I walked into the dome and they have, you know, turf. Feels like real grass. It's warm in there. The kids are practicing in their shirt sleeves. The boys of summer are out there, you know, hitting balls. And I thought, oh, this is what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
This is what green looks like. I'd forgotten what grass looked like. It was made you very hopeful. Of course, then you go through the revolving door and you're out in the tundra again. But if you have a moment to get into a baseball dome somewhere, take a few minutes to just remember what grass looked like.
But again, here in Minnesota, and one of many things I love about this state, Minnesotans take nothing for granted. Mm-hmm. Other cities gets up to 70 and the sun is out and it's like, it's just another day. Mm-hmm. Here, we savor nice weather.
That's the truth.
Because we hell for a couple of months.
That's
by the way,
truth.
This could be the biggest snowfall of the winter so far. 6.3 inches. Is the most we've gotten from a single storm. And that was just recently, back on February 6th and 7th, 6.3. If we break that tomorrow, this would be the biggest snowfall of the winter. And we may do that tomorrow.
Mark's in South St. Paul. Mark, you got a question for Paul?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, kind of wondering. I'm a spotter myself for the service. And I was kind of wondering, Paul, any ideas how bad it might be for this spring for severe weather this so far?
Boy, I have not. That's a great question, and I would not even want to speculate. We've been let off pretty easy the past couple of springs, Mark. At some point, the law of averages catches up with you. Last year, our biggest outbreak was what? September, mid-September, which is weird.
I'd kill for a thunderstorm right now. That'd be great.
Hey, thank you for what you do, though. Are you a Skywarn spotter?
Hold on. I put him on pause. Sorry. Hi, Mark.
Mark?
I've been a spotter for about 25 years now, going to 30.
And we should point out to listeners, there's a difference between spotters and chasers. Chasers are the ones that try to get video and sell them to the Weather Channel and local news.
That's what you do after you shoot your whiskey, right?
They're in for the thrill.
They're in for the thrill and, in some cases, the bucks. You guys are out there confirming that, that tornado did, in fact, touch down. Or, yes, there is, in fact, hail the size of hen's eggs. And Doppler only goes so far. We need ground truth. And thank you for what you do, Mark.
Just out of curiosity, Paul, are you going to the symposium in April?
Yeah, the severe weather. Sure, Jana, are you getting a headache? All this weather talk.
We're going to rename the Weather Nerd segment. That's what we're going to call it, Dan. I was trying to tell jokes. I got to
Nerdology.
To tell jokes.
I am hoping to go. Yeah. We'll see you there, Mark. All right.
We lost him. Sorry, Mark.
I'm out.
Are you going to the symposium?
I can see you've tuned out.
I wasn't invited to the symposium, so I'm not going.
You could give the guest speech.
Snow sucks. Thanks so much for coming.
Goodbye. Oh, come on. It'll pass.
It's also 4:31. How much is Bob Dylan's childhood bathroom sink going for on eBay? Find out next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's a sink. It's from the 60s. How much would you pay for it?
$1.298.
It's pretty ugly. Now you know that it belonged to Bob Dylan, and it was in his childhood home.
A buck 298.
In Hibbing. We're talking, it's up on eBay. And fans have paid $2 million for a draft of the lyrics for Like a Rolling Stone. $965,000 for a Stratocaster guitar, in which he famously went electric at the 1965 Newport Folk Festival. You know, there are a lot of collectibles for sale, a lot of Bob Dylan collectibles. This ink was used when he was still Bobby Zimmerman. It was in his home in the 50s and 60s. But it was a 1940s or 50s vintage sink. I guess you can call it vintage, but it's just old. Okay. It was used in his street in Hibbing. The current bid on eBay, do you want to guess? And Dan, do you want to throw out a number? No, Dan has no idea. You want to guess?
15 cents.
$4,000. Current bid on eBay is $4,000.
Wow.
And by the way, the winning bid must pay shipping. And enjoy.
It's a sink.
The sink. And they will not throw in the kitchen sink. This is the bathroom sink.
That's the bathroom sink. But Bob Dylan used
it. They say it had original fixtures on it. But again, like nothing special. It's just.
They have a little toothpaste on the bottom
yeah,
here.
Right. Yeah. Get a little DNA.
Mr. Dylan's toothpaste. That's so cool.
Bob Dylan's sink.
So fascinating.
All right. What the heck is in the water in Alabama? I saw this.
I thought, making people join ISIS, so I don't know.
Well, no. An Alabama newspaper man is calling for the KKK to lynch Democrats.
Oh, my God.
An Alabama newspaper. It's not a big one, but it's a little newspaper, but it has called for the Ku Klux Klan to night ride again and hang Democrats with hemp ropes. In a shocking editorial, the Democrat reporter in Linden, Alabama, states that the KKK, quote, would be welcome to raid the gated communities in Washington, D.C., referring to the residences of Democrats and Democrats in the Republican Party. The editorial, written by publisher Goodloe Sutton, expressed anger at both parties for, quote, plotting to raise taxes in Alabama.
Oh my God.
When contacted by the Montgomery Advisor, the Montgomery Advertiser, Goodloe doubled down on his call for action, saying, quote, if we could get the Klan to go up there and clean out D.C., we'd all been better off. We'll get the hemp ropes out, loop them over a tall limb, and hang all of them. He denied calling for the lynching of Americans, saying, quote, these are socialist communists we're talking about, end quote. Lawmakers from the state have urged Sutton to resign.
Alabama must be real proud. They have this jackass. Then they had the lady who ran off to join ISIS and wanted to come back. And they also had Roy Moore. Remember him?
Yeah.
The pedophile lawmaker who almost became governor, senator, or state senator. Very disturbing. What is going on?
What is in the water? I don't know. Maybe it's tainted well water that these morons are drinking.
In France, the force is strong because lightsaber dueling is now a thing. It's easier than ever in France to act out Star Wars fantasy because its fencing federation has borrowed from a galaxy far, far away and officially recognized lightsaber dueling as a competitive sport. Dan, this is so in your wheelhouse. I know you pulled it for us yesterday.
Got a plane ticket to France booked for.
Yeah.
Love everything
Sounds like
about
fun.
This.
Mm.
Everyone, of course, knows what a lightsaber is. It's the laser from the George Lucas saga that comes out. Darth Vader uses it to cut people in half. It's fantastic. The LED-lit rigid polycarbonate lightsaber replicas can't slice anybody in half as they do in the movies, but they are expensive. They're equipped with a chip in their hilt that emits a throaty electric rumble. Like on the silver screen. So it is now an official sport in France, lightsaber dueling. I love everything about that.
That should be an Olympic sport.
I love it.
I would watch that.
It might be someday. Someday.
That is very cool.
It's great.
All right.
It's great.
Like that. Screen time has more than doubled since 1997 for kids younger than the age of two, Jordana. But the growth is not where you'd expect, despite smartphones and tablets. Time spent in front of TV sets, the tube, is actually the top driver of this increase. According to JAMA Pediatrics, kids under the age of two spent 1.32 hours every day in front of the screen in 97. That jumped over 3 hours in 2014. Here's the reason why that's important. Excessive screen time early in life has been associated with cognitive, language, and social and emotional delays. It's also linked to obesity and sleeping problems. I didn't realize this. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends no screen time for children younger than 18 months old.
That's because you haven't had small kids in a long time.
Did you just park the kids in front of the TV when they were babies?
No, of course not, because that was in place 15 years ago when I had babies.
Yeah?
Yeah. They said under two, no screen time.
No screen time. Yeah. Zero.
I mean, it's completely unrealistic because sometimes you're making dinner and you're watching HGTV and the kid's in his, you know, in his high chair eating and you're watching HGTV or you're watching the news. So it's completely unrealistic unless you're Amish. But
no, they don't have TVs.
That's what I mean.
The Mennonites might, but not the Amish.
Okay, whatever. Then it's possible. So, I mean, they're unrealistic, but, you know, whatever. They have to say things like that. Zero screen time ever. You know, lock the kid in his room with some blocks and don't let him come out till they're two. But it's a lofty goal.
Wow. Okay. Lock them in their room with blocks?
They tell you not to yell or even give them a little potch on the tush when they're bad. And, you know, they tell you to have them sleeping through the night at 3 months. That crap never happens, folks. You just chill out. You're doing just fine.
Okay.
And no matter if you're parking them in front of HGTV for a little while, you try to whip up dinner for the big ones. You're doing just fine out there, mom and dads. Don't worry about that. A police officer in New Jersey left a touching note for a waitress along with a $100 tip after learning that she was pregnant with her first child. The waitress's father posted the note on Facebook. The officer did not want to be he didn't want to be identified. But the Facebook post says, my daughter's a waitress at a local diner. She's 7 months pregnant and working to save as much money as she can. And a lone, pleasant officer came in for lunch. When he was done, he signed the check, the $9 check, and left her a $100 tip.
Wow.
With a note that says, enjoy your first. You will never forget it. He says, what a wonderful person. Not only to leave a very generous tip, but a lovely message. Mr. Police Officer, you made my little girl cry and made her year. And he says, I always have the utmost respect for officers. They go above and beyond. And he went on to talk about how police officers aren't always are cast in the best light, sometimes justifiably, but this was such a beautiful gesture and he was thrilled. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, you know.
Good people, baby. Good people.
The good people, the good cops don't get enough good coverage,
right? They're getting coverage right here.
The vast majority, law enforcement do the right thing. Dolly Parton says her husband is not a big fan of her music.
What? She should divorce him.
Well, look, I mean, he's being honest. Dolly Parton says her husband is proud of her, but he's not the biggest fan of her music.
Does he tell her she looks fat in those jeans, too? Because, buddy.
No, that would not be good.
There's a place for honesty. It's not in a marriage.
I guess the husband appeared on the UK's Good Morning Britain to promote a musical. Parton revealed that her husband of more than 50 years, Carl Thomas Dean, has only seen her perform a few times. The legendary country singer said he's not necessarily my biggest fan when it comes to her tunes. It's interesting.
He needs to step it up, baby. He needs to step it up.
How can you not like Dolly
Here's
Parton?
Here's the advice. When she says, do you like my music? You say, yes, honey.
Yes.
Do I look fat in those jeans? No,
no.
Baby.
Yeah.
Well, those are the proper responses.
Yep. You're right.
It's also 446. That is a Wixon Jewelers time check. If you're looking to sell your Rolex or another high-end timepiece, turn to the trusted experts at Wixon Jewelers, just off 35W in Bloomington. Mike Mack's in the house, but we're going to have to get him a bubble, a full-body condom, because you have a cold, and we love you, but not that much.
Yeah, I hear you. I've been working out, though, every day, so I feel good.
I'm sorry.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's good.
You work out when you're sick.
Sorry about you.
I double down. I work out harder.
No kidding.
Yep, it goes quicker.
He's a superhero, you know.
And did you get over the cold faster?
It's just, it's just that what I've learned is my theory is if you have something in your body, it will move out quicker. I don't know why.
If your metabolism is working harder, higher metabolism.
I got to be really careful on this because I'm not a doctor, obviously.
You're not?
But there's something about adrenaline or endorphins that heals, I think. And I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. What that is. You know what I've taken in the last 24 hours? I've gargled with salt water 5 times. I've done 68 cough drops.
I
chopped up garlic twice.
Okay.
And ate a clove of garlic, a spoonful of raw garlic.
So we know you're not a vampire.
Yep. And then I've done honey and lemon juice together. Because last night I said to the audience, we got a great audience, right?
Sure.
So I said, two questions, President's Day. Who's the best all-time president?
Mm-hmm.
And does anybody have a cure for common cold for that can help me. Well, guess what they called in about?
The common
not much interest in the president.
Yeah, they don't care about the president. Right, right. Yeah.
But I got more advice as to how to cure a cold. Or for me, it's just a little congestion in the back of the throat.
And so I gave you some advice today with the airborne.
You said airborne.
Take the airborne tablets when you first feel the scratchy throat. I was skeptical. It has saved my butt 3 or 4 times. It knocked it down before it had a chance to blow up.
Really? Yeah, and I went to the doctor this morning just to make sure. He said, no, you're good. He said, I'll give you a couple more things to just kind of give it one more shot.
Did he say take a nap?
Yeah, do you get the endorphin high when you, like, watch Netflix?
Take a nap.
I do.
That's right.
I do.
Rest, baby, rest.
I love taking a nap in my car sometimes.
Really?
In the parking ramp where it's nice and dark and you just leave the vent going. Oh, like 10 minutes, you know?
Hey, the twins are on the radio, on this radio.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah, right after our show, yeah.
So exciting.
A lot of people in Florida, down at Fort Myers, ranting and raving about Miguel Sano. I mean, his conditioning. He looks like he's in good shape. Do we have to worry about this, this cut on his heel? Is that a thing?
No, not really. But, I mean, the guy hasn't been able to play a season, you know,
right,
since he's been here. So I think you always have problems with Miguel Sano. I think he's a tough enigma.
Why is just more prone to injury?
I think his body size has made him prone to injury because when you move laterally and you got that much going, his diet has created some of that.
Why? What's his diet?
Well, now it's supposed to be good, but it used to be the old seafood diet, whatever he sees, he eats.
Oh,
right?
Got it.
Brunching.
Got it.
But,
got it. Okay.
But he, so he can do this, but I still won't believe it until I see it for a season. You know, they had to send, this guy was an all-star 2 years ago, and they had to send him down to Fort Myers last year just to get it straight. I mean, that should never happen to a guy in the prime of his career, you know? Just to get his head right and his diet right and all and his conditioning right. That should never happen. It did.
Manny Machado got signed for $300 million.
Hey, he's got to eat.
10-year
he's got to eat.
Contract. I mean, could that ever happen here?
$300 million.
Yeah, could. Yeah, could. Not right now. They wouldn't do that because of the state of the team. So when Maurer got $126 million, $23 million a year, you know, that his contract just ended last year on that. Uh-huh. That's the biggest ever for the Twins.
Sure.
But it's a relative game. As long as there's more money coming in than going out, you could do that. Here's the problem, Jordana. A guy that's that good, that get around $300 million, even if the Twins offer $300 million, he's probably going to want to go somewhere where he thinks they can win now.
I get that.
Because if you can get $300 million from the Twins, you can get $300 million from the Yankees or the Mets or whoever it is that you know, wherever you want to go
play.
I get that.
Yeah.
So that's why it's hard for the Twins to attract players in the free agent market. Because even if they can't.
And why are they doing a 10-year contract? I thought we were in the era of 1-year contracts.
That's what's perplexing, is the whole strategy behind the new regimes is the back end of those contracts you always get burned on. So if nobody gives them long-term contracts, nobody's going to get burned, right?
Right.
So 10 years is a long number.
Long
7
time.
Years, I just said. 10, no. But.
Hey, Maxie, are we in do-or-die time, must-win territory with the Wild? I know they're back in action against Anaheim.
You could have filled in the blank with a bunch of teams there.
I know.
Yes.
I know. Take your pick.
Yeah, the Wild play Anaheim tonight, and Anaheim's not very good.
Right.
And so the last time Anaheim came in, they weren't very good either, and they did a number on the Wild. Scored 3 goals in about 5 minutes, and the game was over. So, I mean, these have got to be afterthought games. These are the kind of games where it's just a question how much you win by if you're going to go to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Listener says, cut up and boiled ginger for tea, and also a bowl of hot chili with lots of extra chili powder is great for a cold. Write these down.
I'm telling you, man, I've got so much stuff in my but right now I'm going to go get airborne.
Yes, get that. Absolutely.
Feel better, Mike.
Doctor
Max.
Swears that I'll be sounding good by tonight.
Thanks, Maxie.
Mike Max.
Hang in there, buddy.
See you tonight. When we get back, reaction to the governor's budget proposal and what did Paul Gazelka have to say about it? Next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.